Near the end of his first letter to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul included a series of reminders, instructions. In 1 Thessalonians 5, let's turn there to begin. 1 Thessalonians 5, and reading beginning in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, we read this. He said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good." Notice that he included words like or statements like rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, test all things. And then he added that statement, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So what I thought I'd ask in this split sermon is, what did Paul mean by these absolute expressions like always, everything, and especially pray without ceasing? After all, he adds, "For this is the will of God for you." Let's look at those statements, but especially the statement, "Pray without ceasing." The context of the book of 1 Thessalonians can help us understand, I think, what Paul meant, because he started this letter giving his own example, just his own personal example of prayer that included his deep love for the brethren and the church members there in Thessalonica. Let's read in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, 3, and 4. Notice what he said. He said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God." So he starts off, again, giving his own example of how he prayed for them and how he loves them. Then verse 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "For this reason," chapter 2, verse 13, "we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. We also thank God without ceasing." So we see in these opening comments that Paul wanted his readers to follow his example. He exhorted them to follow his example. And, of course, when he said, "Pray without ceasing, we rejoice always," like all people, of course, Paul had to sleep sometimes. He had to focus on other things at other times as well. And he tells us in the other letters, he prayed for other congregations as well. And yet here it says he prayed for them without ceasing. But we understand that he couldn't mean he literally prayed constantly 24/7, you know, for the Thessalonians. You know, he couldn't have literally meant that. But he did pray persistently and consistently. He never stopped praying for them. He prayed for specific people. We have his example of that. And their needs, regularly, he prayed those things. He didn't just pray a time or two or a few times and then forget them or forget about them. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. What did Paul mean by these absolute expressions? Always, everything, without ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 13, in the context of take up the whole armor of God, chapter 6, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, notice verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, praying always with all prayer. Here, so Paul associates praying always with putting on the armor of God, which is something we need to do every day. put on the armor of God. We want to have God's protection and God's help every day and God's guidance in all that we do. So Paul was a really good example in the examples we looked at, a few of them, of praying without ceasing, as far as what that means and how we do that. What about Christ's example of praying without ceasing? I'm going to focus again on that statement, pray without ceasing. Christ clearly demonstrated the need for prayer and especially persistence in prayer, being persistent in prayer. And he taught his disciples about his relationship with God and how he prayed to the Father as an example for them and as a lesson for them so that they could understand the nature of praying persistently. Let's look at a few examples. John 11. John 11. In the example of Christ coming to Lazarus' grave, notice what he prayed in John 11 in verse 41 and 42. John 11, verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So we know that God backed up Christ's prayer by raising Lazarus from the dead, and that Christ prayed continually, constantly, persistently to his Father. We also know that he prayed on the day he was crucified, and demonstrating that open line of communication between him and the Father, and how important that was. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. After the Passover, Passover service that he kept, Luke 22, we know that he went out to a garden to pray on the Mount of Olives. And Luke 22, verse 39 through 42. Luke 22, verse 39. Coming out after the Passover service, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. Then, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We know that he prayed so earnestly that verse 44 says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So he prayed earnestly to his Father, you know, at this very time, just before his betrayal and arrest, that God would deliver him. He had that open line of communication with his Father that he was persistent in throughout his life. Let's go to another example in Matthew chapter 26. We see this Christ example once again of prayer. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Again, his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing and the flesh is weak. So finding Peter and James and John and the others sleeping, he said, no, couldn't you watch and pray with me for just 1 hour? Verse 44 says, so he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. He prayed twice more, prayed three times in this example, again, his own persistence in prayer. We know that even hanging on the stake as he was dying, he continued his passionate prayers in his relationship with his Father and prayed even asking his Father to forgive those who had crucified him and that into his Father's hands he would commend his spirit. So Christ's example, again, teaches us about prayer, that we should be persistent in prayer, that we have that open line of communication with our Father, and that no, God doesn't expect nonstop 24 hours, 7. When Paul said pray without ceasing, we know that it doesn't mean that. Let's look at an example in Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. Tells us this in the context of what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Now it came to pass, Luke 11 verse 1, as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased. We do the same thing. We pray and then we cease for a time. We finish our prayer, but we don't ever give up on prayer, do we? We never give up on prayer. We always come back to it. We don't just ever give up. Jesus' disciples knew that he prayed often, and so one of them asked him there at the end of verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So there is given then what follows, we refer to as an outline of prayer. He gave examples to show the importance of persistence in prayer. And just why that was important, let's see Luke 11, verse 5 through 8. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend? And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And again, his point is that not that God is reluctant to ever hear us, but that persistence is essential in prayer as well as in life. There is a lesson in that. God wants to know how much we care, how much our relationship with him in prayer is important to us. He wants us to realize how important contact with our Creator really is, and so we are persistent in prayer. Verse 9 through 13, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God loves us, we know, so deeply, but he wants us to ask. And God wants us to keep on asking. You know, not being repetitious in prayer, as described in Matthew 6, Christ warned against using vain repetitions. He knows what we need even before we ask. And yet, he still wants us to ask. And it helps us to build that strong line of communication between us and him. And so we pray always. We pray without ceasing. We never give up on prayer. We're persistent and constant in prayer. One of the most memorable parables, I think, that Christ taught, especially dealing with this subject of persistence, is found in Luke chapter 18. It really is an excellent illustration of praying without ceasing from the example that we have here in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, notice how he introduced it, beginning in verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So is the purpose of this particular parable, that we ought to always, without ceasing, never giving up, pray and not lose heart. Say, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So, if even such an unjust judge as is described here would respond to the widow because of her persistence and not giving up, how much more will our just, loving God, caring God, respond to us? God, of course, is not unjust. But we know that sometimes he doesn't answer us immediately. We don't always get an answer right now. And we've learned that that can teach us long-suffering, faith, patience, persistence, just because at times God doesn't answer us immediately. But growing in faith helps us to understand more and more that God really does have our best interest in mind. That's the kind of God we serve, even when we don't understand why he doesn't answer us right away. We're convinced and convicted that God does have our best interest in mind. So how do we apply the instructions to pray always in our everyday lives? How does that look just as far as practical prayer life for you, for me? Probably something like this. Our most extensive and complete daily prayer is something we plan for and do that in private. I think for most of us, we begin our day that way, with a certain amount of time in prayer, just to kind of arm ourselves for the day, to put on the armor of God, to establish that contact with God right at the start of the day. For most of us, it probably looks like that. In addition, as far as praying without ceasing, we know that, and we've all done this, in emergencies and at any time, we can pray constantly to God, whether aloud or just silently in our minds. It's another part of praying without ceasing. Sometimes when we are having a problem with our own attitude and maybe we realize we're getting angry about something, we've learned the old trick, try to count to 10, and maybe during that 10 that we count to, we pray. That's another way that we pray without ceasing. We can pray while in the shower, while waiting in line, while commuting to and from work, lying in bed before we get out of bed in the morning, or before we fall asleep at night, talk to God and have that time of praying. We probably all have done that as well. We should be persistent in prayer. And when we pray for someone, we want to be persistent in that too, and not just, pray a time or two and forget about them. God doesn't forget about us. He doesn't want rote repetition, but I don't believe God tires from hearing us praying about the same issue, as long as that issue exists. I don't think God gets tired of hearing us praying for others. Of course, we should never say, and this is what Paul, I think, also meant by praying without ceasing, we would never say, I'm done with prayer, it doesn't work. We don't believe that. We believe that prayer does work, and that it will be a part of our lives until God's kingdom comes, or until we die and are resurrected. Prayer will be a part of our lives as long as we live. Pray without ceasing does not mean that we never bring a prayer to an end and are praying 24/7. Of course, Paul wasn't telling us that. But I think it does mean we must always be ready to pray, that we're always ready to pray, especially when it is needful. It ought to be our constant impulse to seek God, to ask God for help, that we have that constant impulse and that kind of relationship with God, that we want to seek God. People have come up with various analogies about prayer. Some have compared praying to breathing, that praying ought to be as natural and often as we breathe. Of course, that analogy is not exact. We have to focus on other things throughout the day. We have other responsibilities, but still, seeking God should never be far from our mind. And I guess the way I would say it is, let's not hold our spiritual breath from praying and talking to God. Praying without ceasing, heard someone compare it, is like having God on speed dial and always having your phone with you. It doesn't mean never getting off your knees. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean that. But it's like always being ready to go to God. You may have heard the old saying, we've heard this in the church years past, 7 days without prayer makes one weak, W-E-A-K. You've probably heard that as I have. But 24 hours without prayer probably means we aren't praying without ceasing. Going 24 hours without prayer, and it's important to start again just as soon as possible. Here are a few thoughts from couple of Bible commentaries on 1 Thessalonians 5:17 about praying without ceasing. The New King James Study Bible says this: Paul exhorts the Thessalonians to maintain a faithful prayer life like his own. We saw his example, and he was exhorting them to do the same. Praying without ceasing does not mean praying constantly, but being persistent and consistent in prayer. That's the New King James Study Bible. The Expositor's Bible Commentary on 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this: intimately related to constant joy is incessant prayer, the only way to cultivate a joyful attitude in times of trial, through prayer. Uninterrupted communication with God keeps the temporal and spiritual values in balance. It's part of our priorities. The Greek word translated in the NIV as continually does not mean some sort of nonstop praying. Rather, it implies constantly recurring prayer, growing out of a settled attitude of dependence on God. I thought that was really well put, that our prayer life is part of having this settled attitude of dependence on God. We know we depend on God. We depend on God for so much of our life, for life itself, and for all that life provides. A settled attitude of dependence on God. But again, that was really well put in the Expositor's Bible Commentary. So again, to pray without ceasing, as Paul said in Thessalonians, doesn't mean we never get up off our knees. Of course, that's impossible. But the Bible teaches regular and persistent prayer. And if ever there was a time in history when we in God's church need to pray without ceasing, the end of the age time, which it seems we're certainly drawing closer to, if we're not already in the end of the age times. We don't know that for sure, but a lot of signs sure seem to be there. So if there was ever a time for God's people to be praying without ceasing, this time seems to be such a time. So God does give us the priceless privilege, and it really is a privilege and a blessing, of staying in constant contact with Him as we learn to pray without ceasing.